20th Century Fox. A John Hughes production. A Chris Columbus film. Macaulay Culkin. Joe Pesci. Daniel Stern. John Hurd. Robert Blossom. And Catherine O'Hara. Angela Goethals, Devin Rattray, Jerry Bauman, Hilary Wolfe, and Larry Hankin. Home Alone. Written and produced by John Hughes and directed by Chris Columbus. In an affluent suburban neighbourhood, a large red brick house peppered with snow and festooned with Christmas lights is a hive of activity. Standing in the hall, a police officer is totally ignored by the preoccupied family members.
Where's my suitcase?
Who stole the hair?
Miss, young lady, excuse me, girls. Hey, sit down. Hey, excuse me, girls.
Take the witches.
Hey, speak up.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
Ma'am.
Ma'am!
Hi!
Hey, son!
I just bought that!
Get anything done around
Big
here.
Fella! Hey! Little guy!
Pete's brother and his family are here. Oh, it's crazy.
You know, Trisha's going to Montreal.
Montreal?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's right. Her family's there.
And then we're off.
When do you leave? You're not ready, are you?
Mom, Uncle Frank won't let me watch the movie, but the big kids can. Why can't I?
Kevin, I'm on the phone. When do you come back? Not till then.
It's not even rated R. He's just being a jerk.
Kevin, if Uncle Frank says no, then it must be really bad. No, we're not bringing the dog. Put it in the kennel for the... Hey, get off. Kevin, out of the room.
Hang up the phone and make me, why don't you?
Okay, did you by any chance pick up the voltage adapter thing?
No, I didn't have time to do that.
Well, how am I supposed to shave in France?
Grow a goatee.
Dad, nobody let me do anything.
Bye.
You don't have anything to do? I got something for you to do. You can pick up those micro machines that are all over in there. Aunt Leslie stepped on one and almost broke her neck.
He was in the garage again playing with the glue gun.
Didn't we talk about that?
Did I burn down the joint? I don't think so. I was making ornaments out of fish hooks.
My new fish hooks?
I can't make ornaments out of the old ones with dry worm guts stuck on them.
Peter.
Come on, Kevin. Out.
Peter, Kate, do you guys have a voltage adapter?
Here's a voltage adapter.
Kevin, you're getting heavy. Go pack your suitcase.
Pack my suitcase?
Do you know where the shampoo is, Fuller?
I don't live here.
I don't believe in a house with this many people, there's no shampoo.
Pardon me, are you a parent's home?
Yeah, but they don't live here.
Tracy, did you order the pizza?
Buzz did.
Excuse me, miss. Are your parents here?
My parents live in Paris, sorry.
Hi.
Hi.
Are your parents home?
Yeah.
Do they live here?
No.
No. Why should they? All kids, no parents. Probably a fancy orphanage.
I don't know how to pack a suitcase. I've never done this once in my whole life.
Tough.
That's what Megan said.
What did I say? You told Kevin tough. The dope was whining about a suitcase. What am I supposed to do? Shake his hand and say congratulations, you're an idiot?
I'm not an idiot.
Oh, really? You're completely helpless. Everyone has to do everything for you.
She's right, Kev.
Excuse me, pupils. I'm a lot smaller than you. I don't know how to pack a suitcase.
Hey, I hope you didn't just pack crap, Jeff.
Shut up, Lenny.
Do you know what I should pack?
Buzz told you, cheek face. Toilet paper and water.
Listen, Kev, what are you so worried about? You know Mom's gonna pack your stuff anyway. You're what the French call les incompetents.
What?
Bombs away!
Jeff's holdall lands at the police officer's feet.
P.S. You have to sleep on the hide-a-bed with Fuller. If he has something to drink, he's gonna wet the bed.
This house is so full of people, it makes me sick. When I grow up and get married, I'm living alone. Did you hear me? I'm living alone!
In a bedroom,
who's gonna feed your spider while we're gone?
He just ate a whole load of mice guts. He should be good for a couple weeks. Is it true that French babes don't shave their pits?
Some don't.
But they got nude beaches.
Not in the winter.
Kevin tentatively approaches the older boy.
Buzz?
Don't you know how to knock phlegm wad?
Can I sleep in your room? I don't want to sleep on the hide bed with Fuller. If he has something to drink, he'll wet the bed.
I wouldn't let you sleep in my room if you were growing on my ass.
Kevin shrinks back.
Check it out, old man Marley.
Outside, an old man is shoveling snow.
Who's he?
You ever heard of the South Bend Shovel Slam?
No.
That's him. Back in 58, murdered his whole family and half the people on his block with the snow shovel. Been hiding out in this neighborhood ever since.
Well, if he's a shovel slayer, how come the cops don't arrest him?
Not enough evidence to convict. They never found the bodies. But everyone around here knows he did it. Now it'll just be a matter of time before he does it again.
What's he doing now?
He walks up and down the streets every night, salting the sidewalks.
Maybe he's just trying to be nice.
No way. See that garbage can full of salt? That's where he keeps his victims. The salt turns the bodies into mummies.
Mummies. Marley looks up at the window.
Yeah,
look out!
They quickly hide behind the curtains, but it's too late. Marley's seen them. At the end of the road, a car comes bombing around a corner and speeds towards the house, knocking over a small statue as it skids to a halt in the crescent-shaped driveway. As the driver jumps out of the vehicle to recover the statue, a sign on the car door guarantees pizza delivery within 20 minutes. Indoors, two young children are staring at the police officer.
How are you kids doing, huh? Good? A lot of action around here today, huh? Going on vacation? Where you going? You hear me or what? Going on a trip? Where you going, kid?
The police officer opens the door for the delivery man, who comes in carrying a tall stack of pizza boxes.
Okay, that's $122.50.
Not for me, kid. I don't live here.
Oh, you're just around for the holidays?
I guess you could say that.
Hey, pizza's here!
There you go. That's $122.50.
Oh, it's my brother's house. He'll take care of it.
Hey, listen,
Frank, remember to use the
Hi. Are you Mr. McAllister?
Yeah.
The Mr. McAllister who lives here?
Yes.
Oh, good, because somebody owes me $122.50.
I'd like a word with you, sir.
Am I under arrest or something?
No. It's Christmas time. There's always a lot of burglaries around the holidays. So we're just checking the neighborhood to see if everyone's taking the proper precautions, that's all.
Oh, yeah, well, we have automatic timers for our lights, locks for our doors. That's about as well as anybody can do these days, right? Did you get some eggnog or something like that?
Come on, Dad. Let's see.
Eggnog?
Pizza!
Listen,
pizza!
Are you believing...
Pizza!
Grab yourself a napkin and you're going to have to pour your own drinks.
Mom, does Santa Claus have to go through customs? What time do you have to go to bed?
Early. We're leaving the house at 8 a.m. on the button.
I hope you're all drinking milk. I want to get rid of it.
Hey, don't you...
Right, the pizza boy needs $122.50 plus tip.
For pizza?
10 pizzas times $12.
Frank, you've got some money, don't you? Come on.
Traveler's checks.
Forget it, Frank. We have cash.
You probably get the kind of traveler's checks that don't work in France.
Did anyone order me a plain cheese?
Well, yeah, we did. But if you want any, somebody's going to have to barf it all up because it's gone.
Fuller, go easy on the Pepsi.
Fuller smiles knowingly at Kevin, who's already starting to get annoyed.
Get a plate.
When Buzz pretends to barf, Kevin lunges at him, knocking over the cups of milk and causing his dad to spill the cola. In the ensuing commotion, Fuller ends up having his head trapped between a wall and the back of his dad's chair.
He started it. He ate my pizza on purpose. He knows I ate sausage and olives and
look what you did, you little jerk.
Kevin looks around at the angry faces glaring back at him.
Kevin, get upstairs right now.
Why?
Kevin, you're such a disease.
Shut up.
Kevin, upstairs.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
Now it's for dinner.
Brother's such a...
Like, we don't know.
Why do I always get treated like skunk?
Oh, I'm sorry. This house is just crazy. We've got all these extra kids running around. My brother-in-law drove in from Ohio today. It's just nuts.
How come you didn't bring more cheese pizzas?
Nice tip. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Having a reunion or something?
Oh, no, my husband's brother transferred to Paris last summer, and both of his kids are still going to school here, and I guess he missed the whole family. He's giving us all this trip to Paris for the holiday so we can be together.
You're taking a trip to Paris?
Yes, we hope to leave tomorrow morning.
Excellent, excellent.
If you'll excuse me, this one's a little out of sorts. I'll be right back.
Don't worry about me. I spoke to your husband already. And don't worry about your home. It's in good hands.
Smiling and flashing a gold tooth, the police officer leaves.
You're the only one who has to make trouble.
I'm the only one getting dumped on.
You're the only one acting up. Now, get upstairs.
I am upstairs, dummy. The third floor?
Go.
It's scary up there.
Don't be silly. Fuller will be up in a little while.
I don't want a super Fuller. You know about him. He wets the bed. He'll pee all over me. I know it.
Fine. We'll put him somewhere else.
I'm sorry.
It's too late. Get upstairs.
Everyone in this family hates me.
Then maybe you should ask Santa for a new family.
I don't want a new family. I don't want any family. Families suck.
Just stay up there. I don't want to see you again for the rest of the night.
I don't want to see you again for the rest of my whole life. And I don't want to see anybody else either.
I hope you don't mean that. You'd feel pretty sad if you woke up tomorrow morning and you didn't have a family.
No, I wouldn't.
Then say it again. Maybe it'll happen.
I hope I never see any jerks again.
Watching him stomp upstairs, Kate rolls her eyes and closes the attic door. Climbing onto the hider bed, Kevin lies back with his hands behind his head and ponders.
I wish they would all just disappear.
Outside, a full moon hangs over the house. As an eerie wind begins to pick up, a red bow stuck to a lamppost is sucked into the air, and the branches of a tree scratch against one of the windows. A wreath hanging on the front door rocks back and forth, and a tree branch slowly breaks off, falling onto electricity wires. Sparks rain down on the road, and the McAllister house is plunged into darkness. An alarm clock beside a bed shows 4:37 before the digital numbers disappear. It's morning, and two airport minivans are parked at the front of the house. One of the drivers replaces the statue in the driveway before joining the other at the front door.
Right. I don't know. She said 8 sharp.
Kate reaches for the digital alarm clock, which is now flashing 12 o'clock, then checks her wristwatch. They jump out of bed.
We slept in!
Pandemonium ensues as the entire household scrambles to get ready in record time. Meanwhile, a young boy wanders up to one of the drivers as he loads the cases into his van.
Hi, I'm Mitch Murphy. I live across the street. You guys going out of town? We're going to Orlando, Florida.
Well, actually, first we're going into Missouri to pick up my grandma. Do you know the McAllisters are going to France? You know if it's cold there? Do these vans get good gas mileage?
Gee, kid, I don't know. Hit the road.
Heather, do a head count. Make sure everyone's in the van. Where are the passports and tickets?
Put them in the microwave and dry them off.
How fast does this thing go? Does it have automatic transmission? Does it have four-wheel drive?
Look, I told you before, kid, don't bother me. Now beat it.
Mitch is still snooping around the van when the children file out of the house, followed by Heather.
Line up in front of the van.
Why did you take my batteries?
Come on, you guys. Line up and shut up.
Shut up.
I got to take a head count.
1, 2, 11, 92, 12.
Buzz, don't be a moron.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Okay,
Half in this van, half in this van. Let's go. Have a good trip. Bring me back something fresh.
Peter locks the front door.
There's no way on earth we're going to make this plane. It leaves in 45 minutes.
Think positive, Frank.
You be positive. I'll be realistic.
Ma'am, excuse me. I just wanted to let you know that your power is fixed, but the phone lines are a mess. It's going to take Ma Bell a couple of days to patch them up, especially around the holidays.
Okay, thanks. Heather, did you count heads?
11, including me. 5 boys, 6 girls, 4 parents, 2 drivers, and a partridge in a pear tree.
The vans pull out of the driveway, and in no time, Peter and Kate are leading the McAllister clan as it charges through the airport terminal in one big haul. Run, run, Rudolph, Randolph ain't too far behind. Run, run, Rudolph, Santa's gotta make it to town. A now boarding sign is flashing overhead by the time they reach their gate. Standing at a podium, a member of the boarding staff looks shocked to see so many people rushing towards her. On board the plane.
You get coach.
Thank you.
Fasten your seatbelts, please.
Champagne, please. Yes. It's free, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
We made it.
Can you believe it? Hope we didn't forget anything.
Back at the house. A door opens, and a little boy with scruffy blonde hair pokes his head out of the attic and listens. Hearing no signs of life, Kevin walks into the bathroom. Meanwhile, the family's flight lifts into the air from the runway. Scratching his backside as he walks out of the bathroom, Kevin groggily heads downstairs. Walking into the kitchen, he aims straight for the portable TV resting on the counter and switches it on. Sitting down and watching it for a moment, he looks around the neat, empty kitchen as if something is bothering him. Getting off his stool, Kevin switches off the TV.
Mom?
Thank you. That's real. That's real crystal. Yeah. It's real.
So?
Put them in your purse.
Frank,
put them. Just put them in your purse. Fill it up. Fill it up, please. Thank you.
Don't you feel like a heel flying first class with all the kids back in coach?
No, the kids are fine. The only flying I ever did as a kid was in the family station wagon. It wasn't to France. We used to have to go over to Aunt Laura and Uncle Arthur's house. Kids are okay. They're having the time of their lives.
Yeah. Hello? Mom? Dad? Mom? Dad? Where are you guys? Buzz? Buzz? Buzz?
Kevin anxiously heads for the basement.
Joke. Megan? Lenny? Is this a joke?
Looking around at the various appliances, cleaning products, and general bric-a-brac, Kevin's focus eventually turns to an intimidating-looking furnace in the darkest corner of the basement. Kevin's eyes widen in alarm as it glows into life.
Only my imagination.
When the glow from the furnace brightens and its grate opens like a large gaping mouth, it all becomes too much for Kevin and he scampers back up the stairs. Running outside across the snow, he checks the garages at the side of the house.
The cars are still here. They didn't go to the airport.
His jaw drops open. Returning to the house, he sits down in the kitchen and takes a moment to do some hard thinking. Suddenly, he realizes,
I made my family disappear.
Kevin, you're completely helpless.
No, Kevin, you're what the French call les incompétents.
Kevin, I'm going to feed you to my tarantula.
Kevin, you are such a disease.
There are 15 people in this house, and you're the only one who has to make trouble.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Smiling.
I made my family disappear.
A moment later, Kevin's bouncing up and down on his parents' bed, eating a bag of popcorn and spilling it everywhere. Next, he tears through the house, maniacally waving his hands in the air. Later, he opens a large chest packed full of stuff that he shouldn't be looking at. He starts by picking up an adult magazine. He chucks it.
No clothes on anybody. Sickening. Cool, firecrackers. I'll save these for later.
Buzz, I'm going through all your private stuff. You better come out and pound me.
A framed photo of a girl with a startling smile.
Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof.
Looking up and setting eyes on an air rifle mounted on the wall, a wide smile spreads across Kevin's face. A moment later, the weapon strapped to his back as he balances toy figures on the edge of a laundry chute and steps back. Cocking the rifle, he takes aim and hits them one by one, knocking them down the chute and into a basket in the basement. Later, Kevin's left the kitchen in a mess as he settles down with a mountain of ice cream and marshmallows to watch a video called Angels with Filthy Souls.
Who is it?
It's me, Snakes. I got the stuff.
Leave it on the doorstep and get the hell out of here.
All right, Johnny. But what about my money?
What money?
AC said you had some dough for me.
That a fact? How much do I owe you?
AC said 10%.
Too bad AC ain't in charge no more.
What do you mean?
Guys, I'm eating junk and watching rubbish. Yeah. You better come out and stop me.
He'll call you when he gets out. Hey, I tell you what I'm gonna give you, Snakes. I'm gonna give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead.
All right, Johnny, I'm sorry. I'm going.
1, 2, 10.
Shocked by the black and white images on TV, Kevin covers his eyes with his hands but peeks through his fingers as the man guns down his phone.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
On the plane, Kate sits up as if something is suddenly bothering her. As she anxiously checks her purse, Peter looks up from his book.
What's the matter? Honey?
I have a terrible feeling.
About what?
That we didn't do something.
Ah, now you feel that way because we left in such a hurry. We took care of everything. Believe me, we did.
Did I turn off the coffee?
No. I did.
Did you lock up?
Yeah.
Did you close the garage?
That's it. I forgot to close the garage, that's it.
No, that's not it.
What else could we be forgetting?
At the house, Kevin's wearing a hat and coat as he positions a sled at the top of the stairs and points it towards the open front door at the bottom. Climbing aboard, he tightens his mittens, throws his scarf back around his neck, and takes hold of the reins. Throwing his weight forward, he teeters on the top stair, then plunges. Straight down the stairs, across the hall, out the door, and onto the snow-covered lawn outside, hitting a mound of snow at the far end with a thud. In the air...
The captain's doing all he can. Your phones are still out of order. We'll call as soon as we land, Kate. I'm sure everything's okay.
It's horrible. Horrible. Just horrible.
How could we do this? We forgot him.
We didn't forget him. We just miscounted.
What kind of mother am I?
If it makes you feel any better, I forgot my reading glasses.
Five families gone on one block alone. They all told me from their own mouths.
It's almost too easy.
Check it out. All the houses with nobody home have automatic timers on their lights. But I got it all figured out. Watch this. Number 664 will be going on right about now. Oh. Wait. Number 672, right now. Wait a minute. 671, now. And that's the one, Marvin. That's the silver tuna.
It's very G.
Very G, huh? It's loaded. It's got lots of top-flight goods. Stereos, VCRs.
Toys?
Probably looking at some very fine jewelry. Possible cash hoard. Odd marketable securities. Who knows? It's a gem. Grab your crowbar. Crowbar's up.
You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful sots.
A cartoon version of the Grinch plays on TV, but next to a table of half-eaten snack food and fizzy drinks, Kevin's fallen asleep in an armchair. Turning into the McAllister's driveway, Harry puts the van in reverse and parks it at the side of the house. Awoken by the sound of Harry and Marv getting out of their van, Kevin looks up and sees two silhouettes moving across the front window.
Which way?
We'll go around back down the basement. Come on, follow me.
The two crooks move around the house, and a set of steps leads them to the basement door. As they start going at it with a crowbar, Kevin jumps out of his chair and runs around the house flicking on all the light switches he can find. Marv turns round.
I thought you said they were gone.
We were supposed to leave this morning.
Let's get out of here.
They retreat to their van. Meanwhile, inside the house, in his parents' bedroom underneath the bed, Kevin's quietly cowering amidst the bits of popcorn he spilled earlier. The family's plane arrives in Paris.
Votre attention, s'il vous plaît. Ceci est la...
And as soon as their feet hit the ground, they're on the move again, this time charging through the airport terminal in search of a payphone.
Yes, we have to use the phone, please.
Madame, que faites-vous?
I'm sorry, it's an emergency. We really have to make a call.
Mais que se passe-t-il?
Please, our brother's home alone.
Rendez-moi le téléphone.
Excuse me, just give us the phone.
Rendez-moi le téléphone.
Thank you. Thank you. Peter, I'm gonna call the police. Why don't you book us a flight home? Here, get some change out of here. Call everybody you know. Oh, Leslie. Okay, here's my address book. You and Frank, call everybody who lives on our street. Maybe somebody can help us. What am I doing? Hello? Oh, she'll have to call you back.
A pair of shopping bags part and reveal Kevin. He's still hiding under the bed.
This is ridiculous. Only a wimp would be hiding under a bed.
I can't be a wimp. I'm the man of the house.
Emerging from his hiding place, Kevin heads outside.
Hey! I'm not afraid anymore! I said I'm not afraid anymore! Do you hear me? I'm not afraid anymore!
Kevin turns to see old man Marley looming over him, clutching his snow shovel. Fleeing back into the house at top speed, Kevin runs straight upstairs, flailing his arms over his head, jumps into his parents' bed, and dives under the covers. A police officer's wrapping a Christmas present when she's interrupted by a ringing phone.
Village Police Department.
Yeah, hi, look, I'm calling from Paris. I have a son who's home alone.
Our phones there are out of order, so I'd like somebody to go over to our house, tell him that we're coming home to get him.
Okay, let me connect you with Family Crisis Intervention.
No, it's not a family crisis.
Hold on. Larry, can you pick up? There's some lady on hold. Sounds kind of hyper.
What line, Rose?
Two.
Family Crisis Intervention, Sergeant Balzac.
I'm calling from Paris. I have a son who's home alone.
Has a child been involved in a violent altercation with a drunken and or mentally ill member of his immediate family?
No.
Has he been involved in a household accident?
I don't know. I hope not.
Has the child ingested any poison and or any other object that has become lodged in his throat?
No, he's just home alone.
And I would like somebody to go over to the house and
see that he's all right, just to check on him.
You want us to go to your house just to check on him?
Yes.
Let me connect you with the police department.
No, they just transferred me to you.
Rose!
Yeah?
Hyper on two.
Hang on.
Hold on, please.
No, please don't hang up. Please, don't. Any luck?
No. I couldn't get anybody.
Leslie?
I'm sorry, Kate. Nothing but a bunch of answering machines.
Somebody pick up. Pick up!
Oh, hi, ma'am. It's you again.
Yeah, hi, look. I'm calling from Paris. I have a son who's home alone, and I...
Okay. We'll send a policeman over to your house to check on your son.
Tentatively peering out from under the covers, Kevin quickly throws them back over his head when he hears banging downstairs. Outside, a police officer is knocking on the front door, but a frightened Kevin's taking no chances. He's staying strictly under the covers. The police officer takes out his radio.
There's no one home. The house looks secure. I'm the counter kids again.
Well, I can't believe that you can't bump somebody or ask somebody or...
I'm sorry, but there's no way I can do that.
Well, isn't there a way, like, if you ask somebody? So, I mean, if you brought somebody up here and you explained to them that this is an emergency...
I cannot ask somebody.
They're sending a policeman over to the house to check on Kevin.
Well, that's a relief. Everything here is booked.
There's nothing to Chicago?
There's nothing to Chicago, New York, Nashville, you name it. Everything's gone.
What about a private plane?
No, I'm sorry, we don't do that.
The only thing they have is a booking for all of us on Friday morning.
Friday morning? That's 2 days away.
Look, honey, the kids are exhausted, you are exhausted. There's absolutely nothing more that we can do in this airport. Now, I say we go over to Rob's, and that way we can call the police again, and they can get back to us.
Peter, Kevin is home all by himself. I'm not leaving here unless it's on an airplane.
Madam, we are doing everything we can. Now, if you want to stay at the airport, maybe we can get you on standby. It is a possibility that seat will open up.
Okay?
Yes. I'll wait.
Bells will be ringing. One by one, Kate says goodbye to her family.
Glad news. Bye. I'll miss you.
Bye. Oh, what a Christmas.
To have the blues. Don't you get lost.
Please come home for Christmas.
Waving farewell, Kate's left standing alone at the departure gate.
'Cause I'll be happy Christmas.
Kevin's wearing a towel as he combs his hair in front of the bathroom mirror.
I took a shower washing every body part with actual soap, including all my major crevices, including in between my toes and in my belly button, which I never did before but sort of enjoyed. I washed my hair with the Don't Formula shampoo and used cream rinse for that Just Wash shine. I can't seem to find my toothbrush, so I'll pick one up when I go out today. Other than that, I'm in good shape.
Splashing his face with aftershave, Kevin's eyes widen and he yells in pain. Fully clothed and sheepishly walking into Buzz's room, Kevin looks up at a baseball card tin perched on the highest of a series of wall shelves. and decides it's worth making a precarious climb for. With the cluttered shelves creaking under his feet, he makes steady progress up and reaches for the tin. As the shelves give way in the middle, Kevin comes tumbling down and is buried by a mound of splintered wood and junk. Emerging from the rubble unscathed, he finds the tin and, more importantly, what's inside.
All right. Where's his life savings?
As he runs off with the cash, he doesn't realize Buzz's tarantula has escaped from its glass tank that's now part of the debris. Later, wearing his woolly hat and coat and with his mittens dangling from his wrists, Kevin steps out into the snow-covered backyard and cautiously checks the basement door. Then, looking across the street, he notices Harry and Marv's van parked in a driveway.
I thought the Murphys went to Florida.
He shrugs and goes on his way. Meanwhile, across the street, Harry's playing with a remote-controlled car under the Murphys' Christmas tree, while a snorkeled Marv helps himself to the valuables.
You know, you're one of the great cat burglars of the world, Marv. You think you could keep it down a little in there, huh?
Hi, you've reached the Murphys. Please leave a message after you hear the beep.
Chuck, this is Peter McAllister again, and we're still in Paris at my brother's apartment. Let me give you the number here, okay? The country code is 33. The area code is 14. And the number is 694-876.
Hey, Harry?
Yeah?
That house we were at last night, was that the McAllisters?
Yeah.
Call me in Paris.
You're right. They're gone.
I knew they were.
Silver tuna tonight.
How may I help you?
Is this toothbrush approved by the American Dental Association?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't say, hon.
Can you please find out?
The woman looks put out.
Herb?
Yeah?
I've got a question here about a toothbrush.
The door opens and a figure in a pair of heavy rubber boots steps into the store.
Do you know, is this toothbrush approved by the American Dental Association?
I don't know.
Searching his pockets for money, Kevin doesn't notice the figure walking up behind him until a hand wrapped in a bloody handkerchief slams down on the counter. Standing over him, Marley has Kevin fixed with a piercing stare. Kevin steps back in terror.
Just tell me.
Oh, hon, you pay for that here. Wait, son, you have to pay for that toothbrush. Son? Son? Hey! Jimmy, stop that boy!
Kevin runs out onto the street.
Hey! Hey!
Jimmy catches a policeman's eye.
Shoplifter!
Panicking, Kevin bolts.
Hey! Hey, kid!
Running into a crowded park, Kevin does well to dodge the onlookers. Reaching a frozen lake where people are skating, Kevin jumps onto his knees and glides safely across the ice, while the policeman is taken out by a man playing ice hockey. Laid out on his belly, the police officer gives up the chase and Kevin makes good his escape. After tearing across a bridge as a train passes underneath, Kevin finally stops running and hangs his head forlornly as he wanders along, still clutching the toothbrush.
I'm a criminal.
Meanwhile, stuffing clothes into the plug holes of a kitchen sink, Marv then turns on the taps. Leaving them running, he lifts a sack over his shoulder and heads outside. Waiting in the van, Harry notices the satisfied smile on Marv's face as he adds the sack to the rest of the booty in the bag.
What's so funny? What's so funny? What are you laughing at? You did it again, didn't you? You left the water running, didn't you? What's wrong with you? Why do you do that? I told you not to do it.
Harry, it's our calling card.
Calling card.
All the great ones leave their mark.
We're the Wet Bandits.
You're sick, you know that? You're really sick.
I'm not sick.
Yes, you are.
I'm not sick.
That's a sick thing to do.
Kevin's in a world of his own and doesn't realize he's walking into the path of Harry's van.
We don't need that kind
of... Don't tell me what to do, okay? I can do it if I want to.
Hey, watch out!
Slamming on the brakes, Harry stops the van inches from Kevin's gaping mouth.
Hey, hey, you gotta watch out for traffic, son, you know?
Sorry.
Sandy, don't visit the funeral homes, little buddy.
Okay, okay. Merry Christmas.
As Harry smiles, a flash of light glints off his gold tooth, and Kevin suddenly realizes where he's seen him before.
What's the matter?
I don't like the way that kid looked at me. Did you see that?
You ever seen him before?
I saw 100 kids this week.
Let's see what house he goes into.
Trying hard not to look scared, Kevin continues on down the road. But when he hears the van slowly following him, he stops and looks back. Harry and Marv try to act casually. Doing his best to keep calm, Kevin turns back to the road and walks. Then, as Harry inches the van forward, Kevin slowly begins to pick up the pace.
Why is he going faster?
I told you something's wrong. See, I knew he looked at me weird. Why would he run?
Kevin breaks into an all-out sprint, and the van pulls away from the curb. Seeking sanctuary, Kevin heads towards a church where a nativity scene is depicted by clay models outside the main door. As he reaches the building, Harry and Marv lose sight of him. Harry reduces the van's speed to a crawl, while Marv rolls down his window and they scan the nativity and church doorway.
Maybe we're in the church.
I'm not going in there.
Me neither.
Let's get out of here.
As they pull away from the curb, in the nativity, one of the shepherds standing over the baby Jesus slowly raises his head. Dropping his crook and throwing off his cloak, Kevin runs off down the road.
When those guys come back, I'll be ready.
Now it's nighttime, and from the looks of things, Kevin's having a party at the house. Pulling up outside the brightly decorated house in their van, Harry and Marv aren't expecting to see the silhouettes of a whole host of figures apparently drinking and chatting behind the living room curtains.
Did they come back?
Paris.
Inside, two mannequins rigged up to pulleys are drinking at a table. A life-size cardboard cutout of Michael Jordan is circulating the room on a model railway. And a tailor's dummy is moving to the music as it rotates on the turntable of a record player. Dancing, while manipulating the movements of the mannequins with strings tied around his wrists and ankles, Kevin's having a whale of a time.
I'll come back tomorrow, maybe they'll be gone by then. You'd better get out of here before somebody sees us.
When the van moves away from the house, Kevin peers out from behind the curtains and smiles at a job well done. In a Parisian apartment, the McAllister children are watching It's a Wonderful Life on TV.
Non, attendez un peu. Il est inutile d'attendre 24 heures et je n'ai aucun conseil à demander. C'est tout décidé, je sais ce que j'ai à dire. C'est non, non, en aucun cas.
Frank has a plate.
Attention, look what I have found in this kitchen.
Frank, those are for later. Frank.
Mes petites enfants, do you want a little shrimp, huh?
Do you speak English? Parlez anglais. Well, is there, I mean, est-ce qu'il y a un personne qui parle anglais là?
Did you get anybody?
I am looking for my son. Do you know where he is?
No, I can't find anybody. They're home. They've all gone shopping. Nobody's home for the holidays.
Never mind, forget it.
This is so pointless.
What?
We're here riding in this apartment. Kevin's at home. Mom's at the airport.
So?
You're not at all worried about Kevin.
Why should I be? No, he's acted like a jerk once too many times, and this time he caught it in the butt.
He's so little and helpless. Don't you think he's flipped out?
The little trout can use a couple of days in the real world.
You're not at all worried that something might happen to him.
No, for three reasons. A, I'm not that lucky. Two, we have smoke detectors. And D, we live in the most boring street in the United States of America, where nothing even remotely dangerous will ever happen. Period.
Jumping out of his car and pausing to pick up the statue in the driveway for a second time, the pizza delivery man finds a note on the front door directing him to the back. Heading round the house, he knocks on the back door.
Who is it?
It's Little Nero, sir. I have your pizza.
Leave it on the doorstep and get the hell out of here.
Okay. Well, what about the money?
What money?
Well, you'd have to pay for your pizza, sir.
Is that a fact? How much do I owe you?
That'll be $11.80, sir.
Fast-forwarding the video, Kevin drops some cash through a cat flap in the door, then presses play again.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Cheapskate.
Hey, I'm gonna give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no-good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead. 1, 2, 10.
Terrified, the delivery man falls back, knocking over the garbage can standing by the door, then scrambles to his feet and runs for his life. Jumping into his car, he hits the gas, spinning the wheels on the icy driveway before racing away. Casually, Kevin picks up the pizza and sniffs.
A lovely cheese pizza just for me.
At the airport, Kate's doing a bit of bartering.
Dallas, Fort Worth. American Airlines canceled. A destination to Dallas, Fort Worth.
So we have the $500, the pocket translator, the 2 first-class seats. That's an upgrade from your coach.
Is that a real Rolex?
Do you think it is?
No.
But who can tell? I also have a ring.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Come on, Irene, they're boarding.
Oh, this gal has offered us 2 first-class tickets if we go Friday. Plus a ring, a watch, a pocket translator, $500, and
the earrings. You love the earrings.
She's got her own earrings, a whole shoebox full of them, dangly ones. Come on.
No, but I'm desperate. I'm begging you, from a mother to a mother, please.
Oh, Ed.
Please.
All right.
A plane takes to the sky.
Dear Santa Claus, I got a little sister last year. This year, I'd rather have some clay dough.
Watching TV from his parents' bed, a sorrowful-looking Kevin reaches under the pillow and pulls out a framed photograph of his family.
I didn't mean it. If you come back, I'll never be a pain in the butt again. I promise. Good night.
He looks around before kissing the picture, then replaces it under the pillow and settles down for the night.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Wearing a towel and using a comb as a microphone, Kevin's miming to the song in front of the bathroom mirror.
Where those treetops listen and children listen.
Spraying deodorant under his arms, he pours a few drops of aftershave onto his hands and slaps them on his face. Buzz's tarantulas scuttling around the base of the toilet. Later, Kevin's in a supermarket, pushing a trolley in front of him and looking from shelf to shelf as he walks down an aisle. Reaching for a shelf, he selects a bottle of milk.
Dan, I need a
Approaching the checkout, Kevin can sense suspicion in the assistant's gaze. But when he begins casually unloading the trolley of food and household products, the hesitant woman eventually dismisses her suspicions and begins scanning his produce.
Are those microwave dinners any good?
I don't know.
I'll give them a whirl.
The woman holds up a packet of toy soldiers.
For the kids. Hold on, I got a coupon for that. It was in the paper this morning.
1983.
Okay.
Kevin hands over the money.
Are you here all by yourself?
Ma'am, I'm 8 years old. You think I'd be here alone? I don't think so.
Where's your mom?
My mom's in the car.
Where's your father?
He's at work.
What about your brothers and your sisters?
I'm an only child.
Where do you live?
I can't tell you that.
Why not?
Because you're a stranger.
The assistant gives him the benefit of the doubt. Later, Kevin's walking home when the two plastic bags he's carrying split and his shopping spills onto the sidewalk. Back at home, Kevin's in the basement pouring the new bottle of fabric softener into the washing machine. Turning it on, he opens the dryer and pulls out a bundle of clothes, which he drops into a basket. Lifting up the basket, he freezes as the furnace suddenly sparks into life.
Shut up!
The furnace shuts, and he nods triumphantly. Meanwhile, parked outside, Harry and Marv are watching the house.
I don't get it. I mean, right now it looks like there's nobody home. Last night the place is jumping. Something ain't right. Go check it out.
Marv nods blankly.
Now?
No, tomorrow, Egghead. Now! Go ahead!
Kevin's in the kitchen doing the dishes when Marv walks up to the back door and tries the handle. Finding it locked, he pokes his foot through the cat flap but loses his shoe. Then as he reaches his hand inside to grab it, Kevin quickly switches on the VCR.
Get the hell out of here.
All right, Johnny. But what about my money?
What money?
AC said you had some dough for me.
Fair to fair. How much do I owe you?
AC said 10%.
Listening at the door, Marv looks worried.
What do you mean?
He's upstairs, taking a bath.
Kevin quietly places a pan at the base of the door and takes some firecrackers out of a drawer.
I tell you what I'm going to give you, Snakes.
Snakes.
I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property before I pump your guts full of lead.
All right, Johnny, I'm sorry. I'm going.
One, Kevin lights the firecrackers two, and puts his fingers ten. In his ears. Pulled by the ruse, a petrified Marv dives for cover behind a garbage can. Then, dodging imaginary bullets, he trips and stumbles all the way back to the van. Meanwhile, Kevin's mining for the action in the movie.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Marv jumps into the van.
I don't know who's in there, but somebody just got blown away.
Huh?
Somebody beat us to the job. They're in there. Two of them. There was arguing. One of them blew the other one away.
Who?
I don't know. I thought I recognized one of their voices. And I know I heard that name Snakes before.
Snakes? Snakes, Snakes. I don't know no Snakes.
Snakes. Let's get out of here.
Hold it, hold it. Let's wait and see who it is. We work this neighborhood, too.
Yeah?
Supposing the cops finger us for a job, and they start asking us questions about a murder in the area. Wouldn't it be nice to have a face to go with their questions?
That's a good idea.
Of course it's a good idea. Snakes.
He sounded like a snake.
Everything's full.
Everything's full.
I'm very sorry, but it is Christmas Eve.
What about another airline?
He checks.
Nothing available. May I help you get a hotel room in the city? Tomorrow afternoon, we can get you a flight to Chicago.
I can't wait that long.
I'm terribly sorry, ma'am, but we're doing absolutely everything we can.
Kate steps back from the desk.
Go ahead. On your way. I'm sorry. Excuse me, you have places to go, people to see. Got a ticket there. It's good. Excuse me. Look, I have been awake for almost 60 hours. I'm tired and I'm dirty. I have been from Chicago to Paris to Dallas to... Where the hell am I?
Scranton.
I am trying to get home to my 8-year-old son. And now that I'm this close, you're telling me it's hopeless.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. No way. This is Christmas. The season of perpetual hope.
Ma'am, if...
And I don't care if I have to get out on your runway and hitchhike. If it costs me everything I own. If I have to sell my soul to the devil himself. I am going to get home to my son.
Ma'am, if there was anything at all I could do for
do
you
it.
Today...
Do anything.
I can get you a hotel room.
What?
Excuse me. Can you excuse us for a second? Can I see you for a second, please? Excuse us. Okay. Couldn't help but hearing you got a little bit of a dilemma there. We got a crisis ourselves. Allow me to introduce myself. Gus Polinski.
How are you? Polka King of the Midwest.
Kate looks at him blankly.
The Kenosha Kickers?
Hi there.
How are you? No? That's okay. I thought you might have recognized. Anyways, I had a few hits a few years ago. That's why, just polka, polka, polka. Polka, polka, polka. No? Twin Lakes polka. Damavuji polka, a.k.a. Kiss Me polka. Polka Twist.
Well, these are songs.
Yeah, some fairly big hits for us, in the early 70s, Yeah, we sold about 623 copies of that.
In Chicago?
No, Sheboygan. Very big in Sheboygan. They loved it,
I'm sorry, did you say you could help me?
Anyway, I'm rambling. Our flight was canceled, so we gotta drive. So, see the guy in the yellow jacket over there by the budget sign? He's gonna rent us a nice big van, and we're gonna drive to Milwaukee. Now, I heard you had some problems. You're getting to Chicago to see your kid or something?
My son, we left, and he's there.
Oh, jeez. If you have to get to Chicago, we'll gladly drive you. It's on the way to Milwaukee.
You'd give me a ride?
Sure we will. Why not? You got to get home and see your kid.
A ride to Chicago?
Sure, it's Christmas time.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
You don't mind going with some polka bums?
No, I'd love to.
Meanwhile, back at the house, Harry and Marv are sleeping in their van when Kevin comes out of the back door carrying a saw and dragging a stepladder behind him. Lifting his head off the steering wheel, Harry smiles when he sees Kevin sawing the top of a fir tree.
Hey, Marv. Marv.
Huh?
Look at this.
Kevin's getting himself a Christmas tree.
I think we're getting scammed by a kindergartner.
Kevin drags the tree into the house, and a little later, it's standing proudly in the McAllister living room, decorated with colourful lights and candy canes. Kevin's adding the final touches when Harry appears at the window behind him and peers inside. Seeing his reflection in a bauble he's hanging on the tree, Kevin freezes.
Dad, can you come here and help me?
Harry grins.
Remember that kid we saw the other day? He lives here.
Well, if the kid's there, the parents gotta be.
He's home alone.
As the crooks smile smugly and head back to the van, Kevin runs upstairs and opens a window overlooking the backyard.
Gotta be kidding. You want to come back tonight?
Uh-huh.
Even with the kid here?
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's a good idea, Harry.
Hey, look, that house is the only reason we started working this block in the first place. Ever since I laid eyes on that house, I wanted it.
So let's take it one step at a time, okay? We'll unload the van, we'll get a bite to eat, and we'll come back about 9:00. This way it's dark then.
Kids are scared of the dark.
You're afraid of the dark too, Marv. You know you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Not.
You are so.
Mom, where are you?
back of a rented van traveling along the road. The Kenosha Kickers are treating Kate to a private performance when Gus cheerfully offers her his clarinet. Joins the routine. It's dark, and Kevin arrives at Santa's grotto just as one of Santa's taller elves is locking up for the night, wearing a leather jacket and green shoes that curl up at the toes.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
Hey, nice shoes.
Oh, thanks.
Is he still here? It's really important that I see him.
Well, he's getting in his car. I guess if you hurry, you can catch him.
Damn! How low can you get giving Kris Kringle a parking ticket on Christmas Eve? What's next? Rabies shots for the Easter Bunny?
Tim, hold on! Can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah, if you make it quick. Santa's got a little get-together he's late for.
Okay. I know you're not the real Santa Claus.
What makes you say that? Just out of curiosity.
I'm old enough to know how it works.
All right.
But I also know that you work for him. I'd like you to give him a message.
Shoot.
I'm Kevin McAllister, 671 Lincoln Boulevard. Do you need the phone number?
No, that's right.
Okay, this is extremely important. Would you please tell him that instead of presents this year, I just want my family back. No toys, nothing but Peter, Kate, Buzz, Megan, Lenny, and Jeff. And my aunt and my cousins. And if he has time, my Uncle Frank. Okay?
Okay. See what I can do.
Thanks.
Wait, hold on a second. My elf took the last of the candy canes home to her boyfriend.
That's okay.
No, don't be silly. Everybody sees Santa's gotta get something. Here, hold out your little paw there. There you go. Don't spoil your dinner.
I won't. Thanks.
Taking his three little mints, Kevin heads off while Santa climbs into his car.
Son of a...
Santa punches the dashboard. Passing the occasional arrangement of Christmas lights hanging on trees and driveways, Kevin's walking home when he gets to a house just as guests bearing gifts are being welcomed at the front door. Stopping to watch the cheerful scene, he casts a lonely figure as he stands alone on the sidewalk, enviously witnessing the joy and excitement that's spilling from the house. Despondently, he walks on. A little further down the road, Kevin's kicking something along the ground when he hears singing and turns to find himself standing outside the church. Looking up at the building, he considers, then hesitantly heads towards the door. Inside, decked out in golden robes with white collars, a choir is performing to an almost empty church. Entering the dimly lit sanctuary and removing his hat, Kevin looks all around him, taking in the majesty of his surroundings, the vaulted ceilings and grand pillars, before finding a pew and taking a seat. Sensing that somebody's sitting across the aisle from him, Kevin slowly looks over his shoulder and sees a smartly dressed Mr. Marley staring back at him. Noticing the terrified look on the little boy's face, Marley looks behind him before getting to his feet and crossing the aisle. As the tall bearded man draws closer, Kevin fears the worst.
Merry Christmas. May I sit down?
Totally baffled, Kevin nods and Marley sits down beside him.
That's my granddaughter up there. The little red-haired girl. She's about your age. You know her?
No.
You live next to me, don't you? You can say hello when you see me. You don't have to be afraid. There's a lot of things going around about me, but none of it's true. Okay? Been a good boy this year?
I think so.
You swear to it?
No.
Yeah, I had a feeling. Well, this is the place to be if you're feeling bad about yourself.
It is?
I think so.
Are you feeling bad about yourself?
No.
I've been kind of a pain lately. I said some things I shouldn't have. I really haven't been too good this year.
Yeah.
I'm kind of upset about it because I really like my family. Even though sometimes I say I don't. Sometimes I even think I don't. Do you get that?
I think so. How you feel about your family is a complicated thing.
Especially with an older brother.
Deep down, you always love them. But you can forget that you love them. And you can hurt them, and they can hurt you. And that's not just because you're young. You want to know the real reason why I'm here right now?
Sure.
I came to hear my granddaughter sing. And I can't come and hear her tonight.
You have plans?
No. I'm not welcome.
At church?
Oh, you're always welcome at church. I'm not welcome with my son. Years back, before you and your family moved on the block, I had an argument with my son.
How old is he?
Well, he's grown up. We lost our tempers. And I said I didn't care to see him anymore. He said the same. We haven't spoken to each other since.
If you miss him, why don't you call him?
I'm afraid if I call him, he won't talk to me.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm just afraid he won't.
No offense, but aren't you a little old to be afraid?
You can be a little old for a lot of things. You're never too old to be afraid.
That's true. I've always been afraid of our basement. It's dark, there's weird stuff down there, and it smells funny, that sort of thing. It's bothered me for years.
Yeah, basements are like that.
Then I made myself go down there to do some laundry, and I found out it's not so bad. All this time I've been worrying about it, but if you turn on the lights, it's no big deal.
What's your point?
My point is you should call your son.
What if he won't talk to me?
At least you'll know. Then you can stop worrying about it, and you won't have to be afraid anymore. I don't care how mad I was, I talked to my dad. Especially around the holidays.
I don't know.
Just give it a shot. For your granddaughter, anyway. I'm sure she misses you. And the presents.
I send her a check.
Wish my grandparents did that. They always send me clothes. Last year, I got a sweater with a big bird knitted on it.
Oh, that's nice.
Not for a guy in the second grade. You can get beat up for wearing something like that.
Oh?
Yeah. I have a friend who got nailed because there was a rumor he wore dinosaur pajamas.
You better run along home where you belong. You think about what I said, all right?
Okay.
It's nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
They shake hands, and Kevin gets to his feet, putting on his hat.
What about you?
Me?
Yeah, you and your son.
We'll see what happens. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Kevin leaves Marley to ponder. Dismayed to hear the chime of the church bell, Kevin breaks into a jog, then sprints out of the church. Making it back to his street, Just as the neighborhood's timers are activating exterior Christmas lights all around him, Kevin makes a beeline for his own front door. Stepping inside, he slams the door shut and leans against it after putting on the safety chain.
This is my house. I have to defend it.
Clearing a desk of toys, he rolls out a large sheet of paper on which he's drawn a battle plan. Then he gets to work. After strategically placing miniature toy vehicles on the floor in the hall, he moves outside and empties a bucket of water on the snow-tinged front steps. Next, removing a portable grill from the barbecue, he hangs it glowing on the front door handle. Now he's covering the steps outside the basement with water, and the ones inside with tar. He pierces a floor tile with a nail, then runs outside and climbs to a treehouse whilst carrying a rope that he's already tied the other end of to the attic window. He squirts glue over a strip of clear plastic wrap, then carefully positions a trolley carrying a fan and feathers in his dining room, and places Christmas tree baubles one by one on the floor underneath the window. Picking up two tins of paint, he doesn't notice Buzz's tarantula scurrying past the ball of string he's left on the floor. Now, it's dinner time, and Kevin's just taking his meal out of the microwave when Harry and Marv's van pulls up across the street.
Okay, we'll check it out first. We can always come back for the truck.
Getting out of the van, they pause to look across at the well-lit house.
How do you want to go in?
We'll go to the back door. Maybe he'll let us in. You never know.
Yeah, he's a kid. Kids are stupid.
Inside.
Bless his highly nutritious microwaveable macaroni and cheese dinner and the people who sold it on sale. Amen.
Unfolding his napkin and laying it on his lap, Kevin's just about to tuck into his candlelit meal when... It's 9 o'clock and Kevin doesn't have time to eat. Blowing out the candles, he runs to the back door and cocks Buzz's air rifle.
This is it. Don't get scared now.
Harry and Marv step up to the back door.
Merry Christmas, little fella. We know that you're in there and that you're all alone.
Yeah, come on, kid, open up. It's Santa Claus and his elf.
We're not gonna hurt you.
No, no. Got some nice presents for you.
Be a good little fella now and open the door.
Harry screeches in pain and collapses to his knees after Kevin's aimed the rifle through the cat flap and shot him in the groin from point-blank range.
What? What? What happened?
Get that little...
Poking his head through the cat flap and finding himself staring down the barrel of a gun, Marv smiles nervously.
Hello.
Marv falls back, clutching his forehead.
Yes! Yes!
The little jerk is armed! That's it! That's it! I'm going on the front, you go down the basement!
Double-checking that his head's not bleeding, Marv gets to his feet, seething. Moving round to the front of the house, Harry doesn't notice the glistening ice on the front steps until he's flying backwards through the air. Meanwhile, standing on the top of the steps leading down to the basement, Marv's equally unaware of the icy reception awaiting him.
Ow!
Using his crowbar to grip the basement door's window frame, Marv manages to pull himself up long enough to peek into the house, then falls flat on his face. The crowbar then drops, landing on his head. Finding his feet, Harry decides it would be a better idea if he used the railings this time as he makes a second attempt to climb the steps. And he's right, but he lets go too early and his feet slip from under him, sending him tumbling backwards down the hard stone steps. Meanwhile, outside the basement, hooking his crowbar onto the door handle, Marv finally manages to lift himself onto his feet and stabilize. Wedging the crowbar between the door and frame, he has two attempts at prising the door open, but it's no use. Suddenly, he has a thought. He tries the handle. The door's not locked. Finding the basement empty, he steps inside and slams the door behind him. It's dark in the basement, so when he comes across a cord dangling from the ceiling beside a light bulb, he automatically gives it a tug and dislodges an iron that's primed to drop down the laundry chute. As Marv looks up, it lands on his forehead, leaving a red iron-shaped mark. Outside, Harry comes too.
Oh boy, that's it,
Finally making it past the steps, he's too busy looking through the windows to notice the red glow surrounding the door handle as he reaches for it. Crawling back down the steps, he buries his sizzling hand in the snow, then pulls it out to find he's branded his palm with a large letter M. Having already abandoned his shoes and one of his socks after they became stuck to the tar-covered basement steps, Harry pulls his foot out of his remaining sock and brings the other right down on the nail Kevin's left pointing upward. He falls back to the basement floor, clutching his foot. Harry's returned to the back door. After kicking the cat flap, then spitting on his hand before tapping the doorknob, he's satisfied that it's safe to open the door.
A dead kid.
But as he does so, a pulley activates the blowtorch pointed at his head. With his hat ablaze, he dives headfirst into a mound of snow. When he emerges, his hat and most of his hair have been burnt away. Picking up his crowbar off the basement floor, Marv hobbles barefoot back outside. Meanwhile, still nursing his barbecued head, Harry decides enough is enough and charges the back door, successfully bursting into the kitchen.
Where are you, you little creep?
Crawling on his hands and knees, Marv's made it to the top of the outside steps. Hobbling around the outside of the house, his eyes light up when he spots an open window.
Harry! I'm coming in!
Harry's at the dining room door.
Oh no, I'm really scared.
It's too late for you, kid. We're already in the house. We're gonna get you.
Okay, come and get me.
Who are you?
Walking face first into the glued up plastic sheeting, Harry accidentally triggers a tripwire.
Now you're dead!
Turning on the fan, which blows a cloud of feathers into the air, leaving him looking like a prized turkey. Having climbed barefoot onto the windowsill, Marv can't believe his luck as he looks around the empty living room. He hasn't noticed the baubles on the floor below him. Another bauble crunches under his bare foot as he stands up. Plucking feathers from his face and brushing off his coat, Harry comes face to face with Marv in the hall.
Marv!
Harry?
take your shoes off.
Why the hell are you dressed like a chicken?
I'm up here, you morons! Come and get me!
They slip on the toy cars.
You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
Chasing Kevin up the stairs, Harry sees the tin of paint swinging towards him in time to duck.
Heads up!
Marv doesn't.
Don't worry, Marv, I'll get him for you!
Harry! A second tin knocks Harry on top of his laid-out partner.
Yes.
Kevin checks the tripwire.
He's only a kid, Harry. We can take him.
Ah, shut up, will you?
Ooh.
What is it?
You're missing some teeth.
Where? That's my gold tooth. My gold tooth. I'll kill him! You bomb me with one more can, kid, and I'll snap up your cojones and boil the motor oil!
Kevin dials
911. 911 emergency.
Earl, my house is being robbed. My address is 656 Lincoln Boulevard. My name's Murphy.
Kevin ducks under the tripwire.
You never know what's up there.
The tripwire takes care of Harry, but Marv grabs Kevin's ankle.
I got you! I got him, Harry! I got him! Harry, get up! Give me a hand!
Kevin spots Buzz's tarantula.
I got him! Harry, help me! Get up!
Reaching for the spider on the attic steps, Kevin gently places it on Marv's face as he lays on the floor. Flicking it off, Marv sees the spider land on an unconscious Harry's chest and picks up his crowbar. In the attic, Kevin takes hold of a bicycle handbar which he's hung over the rope that leads down to the treehouse. Psyching himself up, he steps onto the windowsill. Meanwhile, Harry opens his eyes and sees Marv standing over him brandishing the crowbar.
What are you doing, Marv?
Harry! Move.
Marv?
Don't. Move.
Marv, what are you doing? Marv.
The tarantula escapes.
Did I get him? Did I get him? Where is it? Where is it?
Never mind, I just get it. How do you like it, huh? You jerk! Get the kid for us! Get the kid!
Perching on the windowsill, Kevin goes for broke. Hanging from the handlebar, he slides along the rope suspended 20 feet above the ground and doesn't stop until he hits the back wall of the treehouse, crashing through with his feet. Harry and Marv are at the attic window.
Where'd he go?
Maybe committed suicide.
Down here, you big horse's ass! Come and get me before I call the police!
Let's get him!
Wait. Just what he wants us to do. It's to go back downstairs through his funhouse so we get all tore up.
You gotta call the cops!
He's not calling the cops. From a treehouse? Come on.
Out the window?
Yeah.
Not going out the window?
What, are you scared, Marv? Are you afraid? Come on, get out here.
Clinging to the rope, Harry steps off the house.
Come on.
Marv looks absolutely terrified as he starts to follow him. The two crooks inch their way towards the treehouse.
Let's go back, Harry!
Marv looks down at the ground below.
Shut it, Marv!
Kevin's holding garden shears.
Hey, guys! Check this out!
Go back!
Cutting the rope, Kevin sends them swinging back towards the house. Lying flat out on their backs, Harry and Marv turn to look at each other. Jumping off the treehouse ladder, Kevin sprints out of the yard.
There he goes! There he is!
As the crooks give chase, Kevin runs round to the front of the house and doesn't stop. Heading across the street, he stops and looks back when he reaches the driveway.
is!
Hey, I'm calling the cops!
Wait. He wants us to follow him. I got a better idea. Come on.
In the neighbor's backyard, Kevin opens a shutter leading to the basement and ducks inside. Wading through the flooded basement, he climbs a set of stairs, opens a door, and freezes.
Hiya, pal. We outsmarted you this time. Get over here.
Harry lifts Kevin up and hangs him in his sweater on a coat hook.
What are you gonna do to him, Harry?
I'll do exactly what he did to us. And I'll burn his head with a blowtorch.
Go ahead, smash his face with an iron.
I gotta slap him right in the face with a paint can, maybe.
Or shove a nail through his foot.
First thing I'm gonna do is bite off every one of these little fingers, one at a time.
Marley appears with his snow shovel and brings it down hard on the back of Marv's head. When Harry turns round, he's clouted on the forehead.
Come on, let's get you home.
Marley carries Kevin home. Later, Kevin's watching from the safety of his house as two police cars pull up across the street. Then four uniformed officers storm the Murphy house. Harry and Marv emerge handcuffed.
Nice move. Always leaving the water running. Now we know each and every house that you've hit.
Harry gives Marv a withering look.
Hey, you know, we've been looking for you two guys for a long time.
Yeah. Now remember, we're the Wet Bandits. Wet Bandits. And
Shut up!
Hey, come on.
Hands off the head, pal!
Come on.
Kevin smiles as they're bundled into the car.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light.
As the police car reverses into the road, Kevin catches Harry's eye and waves him farewell with a beaming grin. Later, dressed in his pajamas and dressing gown, Kevin leaves a plate of cookies and carrots with a glass of milk next to the Christmas tree. Next, he checks the presents under the tree and the seven Christmas stockings he's hung from the fireplace, then sits down. Meanwhile, in the back of the van, Kate and Gus are the only ones not sleeping.
I'm a bad parent.
You're not. You know, you're beating yourself up there. You know, come on, this happens. This thing happens, you know. You want to talk about bad parents? Look at us. I mean, we're on the road 48, 49 weeks out of the year. We hardly see our families. You know, Joe over there, gosh, you know, he forgets his kids' names half the time. Ziggy over there, he's never even met his kid. Eddie. Let's just hope none of them write a book about him.
And tell me, have you ever gone on vacation and left your child home?
No. But I did leave one at a funeral parlor once. Yeah, it was terrible, too. You know, I was all distraught and everything, you know, the wife and I. And we left the little tyke there in the funeral parlor all day. All day. You know, we went back at night when we came to our senses. And there he was. Apparently, he was there alone all day with a corpse. Now, he was okay, you know, after 6-7 weeks. And I came around, started talking again. But he's okay. You know, they get over it. Kids are resilient like that.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about this.
You brought it up. I was just, trying to cheer you up.
I'm sorry I didn't.
Snow is falling on the house. Christmas morning has arrived. Kevin wakes up in his parents' bed. Rubbing his eyes and looking out of the window, the sight of the falling snow fills him with joy and he jumps out of bed excitedly.
Mom?
He bounds downstairs with an expectant smile.
Mom? Mom?
The stockings hanging from the fireplace are as empty as the rest of the house. Dejected, Kevin opens the front door. looking around hopefully. He then hangs his head and steps back indoors. Just then, the rented van pulls up outside the house. Kevin's in his parents' bedroom staring at the family portrait when he hears the front door opening and looks up.
Kevin! Kevin!
Kevin gets up. Looking around, Kate spots the Christmas tree and the stockings hanging from the fireplace. Scampering downstairs, Kevin's looking for his mum when she appears in the hall behind him. He turns around slowly.
Merry Christmas, sweetheart.
Kate can see Kevin's disappointed with her. Breaking into a beaming smile, Kevin runs over and is scooped up by his mum for a big hug.
Where's everybody else?
Oh, baby, they couldn't come. They wanted to so much.
No, I didn't fall asleep in the back of the cabin, Jewel, all of you, did I?
You do, Jewel! I spit!
You're all right. I love you. You okay?
Hey, Kev. It's pretty cool that you didn't burn the place down.
Thanks, Buzz.
Wait a minute. How did you guys get home?
Oh, we took the morning flight, remember? The one you didn't want to wait for?
Oh, no. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Okay.
Well, someone has to find an open store. We don't even have milk here.
I went shopping yesterday.
You shopping?
I got the milk, eggs, and fabric softener.
What? No kidding. What a funny guy. What else did you do while we were away?
Just hung around.
You guys put your stuff upstairs.
You went shopping?
Yeah,
he doesn't know how to tie his shoe. He's going shopping? This is not the Kevin I knew. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Something through the window at the far end of the room catches Kevin's eye, and he slowly walks over to have a look. Meanwhile, Peter bends down and picks up Harry's gold tooth off the floor. He studies it with a puzzled frown.
Honey, what's this?
Stepping towards the window, Kevin looks outside and sees Marley embracing a man and kissing a woman before lifting his granddaughter up off her feet. Kevin smiles as he watches. Holding his granddaughter tightly, Marley notices Kevin standing at the window and waves at him gratefully. Kevin waves back. Putting his granddaughter down, Marley takes her by the hand and leads his family into his house.
Kevin! What did you do to my room?
Kevin's eyes widen and he runs away from the window.